Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That we would have the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, the entire Congress of the United States, House and Senate, the Supreme Court, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Cabinet of the United States, did I say that? And the Diplomatic Corps, all in the same room. This is and requires hundreds of people working on the logistics and the security of it. Most of those people are either furloughed or victims of the shutdown.
Well, that was Nancy Pelosi today making a statement after she asked the President of the United States to reschedule the State of the Union.
We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, she said in a statement, as you heard her talking about the security concerns, that she asked the president to consider delivering your State of the Union address in writing or to the Congress on writing to the Congress on January 29th instead of in a live address. And there's nothing, by the way, in the Constitution or any mandate that says that he has to give it live or he has to even give it to the Congress. He can just write it out and hand it to them and say, here you go. Here's the State of the Union.
There are rules and regulations. There's protocol. There's tradition. I didn't realize this, Jorah, but in order to green light the State of the Union, both the House and the Senate individually have to pass resolutions. Neither have done so yet. Nancy Pelosi controls, of course, as Speaker, whether the House passes one of these resolutions.
That says what? That we invite the president to come
yes.
and speak? Okay.
Yes. He's entitled to give a State of the Union address. He is not automatically entitled to address a bipartisan members of Congress.
I see. I hope something happens. I like the State of the Union. I like watching it. But I do think it would be hard for the president to stand in front of the country and say the State of the Union is strong because the State of the Union is a hot mess. The State of the Union is 800,000 of them are furloughed. Almost a quarter of our employer of our workforce, you know what I mean, is furloughed. So it's it's less than that.
Quarter of our workforce?
No, it's less than that. It's 800,000.
800,000,
yeah.
Right.
So it's like 2%. But still, it's a lot of people. You know, 400,000 of them are not getting paid. In fact, thousands of Secret Service agents are working without pay. And these are the Secret Service agents that they need to guard all of the people that Nancy Pelosi just said would be in the chamber that night. They'd be working without pay. I bet they'd be pretty mad.
And she did bring up the security.
Yeah.
Aspect to this. What, he's not safe showing up in front of Congress? Really?
You know, she said it takes a lot of people to secure that chamber, and those are all of the leaders of our free world right there. I mean, the Supreme Court's there, all the diplomats are in there, and the entire House is there. Right. It's a lot of people that make a lot of important decisions. And we're shut down. Dan, what day are we on? Hold on.
It would be shut down day 26.
Oh. 26. So again, we're in uncharted territory. It's
never
gone
this long.
Yeah,
the longest one prior to this was 21. So we set the record over the weekend. You buy the security thing? You buy that as an excuse?
No, I don't. I think she's just trying to embarrass him.
I think this is political, 100%.
Yeah.
And I think it's a backfire. I think it's a total backfire.
Okay, how is it a backfire? Because he looks bad either way.
But he doesn't, you know, if you let him do the State of the Union, he looks bad in front of
the country.
In front of the country.
Right.
And you put him in the Oval Office. Now he gets to control everything, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in the chamber, then the people in the chamber get to react to whatever he says. When
and he's not
in the
give your ovation.
When he's in the Oval Office, everything's under his control.
That's true.
I think this is a ridiculous move by the Democrats. It's politics 100%. And not, I mean, this whole thing's been political, right?
Right.
I mean, there's 800,000 people that are not getting paid. 400,000 of them are having to work while they're not getting paid. I have a friend of mine from high school who's in the Coast Guard, and they missed their first check.
Yeah, 40,000 Coast Guard.
First time in the history of the country that military have missed pay.
Not affecting Navy, Air Force,
and that
isn't
on the president, and that isn't right. on the Congress. It's on all of them. It's on all of them. There isn't one particular side of this thing that gets off scot-free. Even whether he said that he was going to own this or not, the fact that the Democrats' negotiating point stance is you have to open the government and then we'll negotiate. So you have to give up your leverage, Mr. President, and then we'll try to negotiate with you. Come on. That's garbage.
Well, his leverage is the wall. He says you have to approve my wall or I right. won't open the government. I mean, they're both immovable forces
what
at
I mean,
this point.
You know, he's saying I'll give you, let's talk about what you want in exchange for giving me the money for the wall. He's at least trying to find some sort of, I do not want to be in the position of having to defend the president, but this is ridiculous.
You're right there, buddy.
He's at least in a position trying to make a deal. They're saying there's no deal. Because if he has to give up his leverage in order for them to even start negotiating about a wall, there's no deal there.
But his deal has to include the wall.
Right, that's but then they can get some stuff from that, and everybody can win. We can all have wins with this. You know, the way that they're approaching this, the Democrats are approaching this, is we get to win, you have to lose, and that's the only way we're going to reopen the government.
And that's how they look at it, because they think if he gets his wall, they get a loss. It's a big L in their category. I know maybe you don't see
wall,
it that way because you're reasonable.
If they get a wall, or he gets his wall, and they get a deal that it solves the DACA problem, then everybody gets a win.
I would
and
totally
okay.
agree with you. Look, I totally agree with
I know.
You. And the go ahead, Paul.
But
I'm sorry.
Is this the definition of a Mexican standoff?
I don't know.
I think it is.
Google that.
Look, I mean, we've already entered political silly season. I continue to think this is because a majority of Americans pin the blame on the president, not on Nancy Pelosi.
Well, because he said in the Oval Office that I take the blame for the shutdown. I think that's why, because he was willing to own it.
But again, Democrats are going to dig their feet in. They're not going to give him a wall. Not willingly, not easily, not without a pound of flesh. And
I
then
wonder
some.
If other Democrats feel like if he got his wall, would they be disappointed in their leadership? Go ahead.
The other thing, didn't Speaker Pelosi say that if we give in on this, that the president may do this again for other things? I'm going to shut down the government unless you give me X, Y, or Z. So in other words, the precedent that's set, that if we cave, if we give you money for your wall, what's to keep you from doing this again?
It is like dealing with a toddler. If you give in to their tantrum,
no.
They're just going to throw another tantrum because they got what they wanted.
So I
can see where people say that just with bigger words, i.e. precedent. It sets a precedent. Here you go. This is what I want. I'm going to shut down the government until you give it to me. And even if you get your dreamers and even if you get other stuff, I still got what I want. You know, and the base, all they see is the wall. All they want is the wall. Great. So they got the wall. It does look well for him for 2020 if he delivers on that campaign promise, which I'll remind you was that Mexico was going to pay for the wall. But I don't think that the base is going to be upset
no.
that we all are going to have to pay for the wall.
No, they're fine with that.
Yeah.
But the liberal base, if we've gotten to a point now where each side is only concerned with making sure the other side doesn't
loses.
Get a win,
I know.
Do nothing.
We
accomplish
problem.
Nothing in Washington. Zero. Mm-hmm. Zilch. If that's the standard, they have to lose. I don't care if I win or not. They have to lose. It's just, it's backwards.
So here's my theory, and I hope I'm wrong. This drags on, God forbid, this drags on another 1, 2, 3 weeks. Let's say this goes into early February, and suddenly you have an outpouring of TSA agents who are not showing up for work. They're taking other jobs, whatever. Air traffic controllers aren't showing up. I mean, at some point, people just, they walk away.
Mm-hmm.
You need to feed your family. When people can't fly, and I'm thinking even business travel, but I'm thinking recreational travel. At that point, is that the outcry? Well, now you've impacted a lot more Americans, not just federal employees and their
right.
families, but now it has metastasized, and it's impacting 20, 30, 50% of the population who needs to fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that when we have our holy cow moment, and let's come to our senses and come up with a face-saving win-win. What does win-win look like? I continue to think, give a path for the dreamers. Let's get serious about DACA. In return for, let's fund the wall. We've talked about this for, 20 years?
Yep.
But because it's tied up in the president's reelection, I think in the minds of many people, that's why I suspect Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are digging in their heels and want to just drag this out as far
totally
as they can.
Because it's totally political.
Of course it is.
By the way, what you're envisioning might happen sooner than later. The TSA sent out a press release today. The TSA is holding a hiring event to fill positions at MSP this Saturday. They're holding a called Fast Track Hiring event this week to recruit multiple full-time and part-time transportation safety officers to work at Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport. If you're looking for a gig, I mean, hey, these gigs pay like between $18 and $26 an hour. These are good gigs. They'll train you, 401k, free transit benefits.
I would imagine pretty good benefits too,
yeah,
right?
Great benefits. You know, matching 401k contributions, starting pay $18.38 per hour. Applicants can earn up to $25.55 per hour. Pretty good deal. We have a call. Kevin's on the phone. Kevin wants to jump in. Jump in, Kevin. Oh, shoot. Oh, hi, Kevin.
Hey, good evening to both of you and all of CCO listeners. You know, if Nancy Pelosi refuses to let the president give what is the customary, it's not required in law, customary state of the state, I think she looks bad.
Yeah.
Then it will be up to the president to determine or really choose if he's going to look bad or not by giving the address and what he says or doesn't say.
But, Kevin, yeah, all these politicians look at the polls, and right now it would appear that the president is getting a majority of the blame for the shutdown, not Nancy Pelosi. That may change, but Nancy, you know, Speaker Pelosi is sitting there twiddling her thumbs, and just the longer she drags this out, I think her calculus is the better it is for the Democrats.
Well, let me make an analogy, Paul. If you were to declare right now, I am personally responsible for the sub-zero weather Saturday night. And guess what? You own that. You own it whether or not people like it or not. And quite frankly, if I go out and get frostbitten on Saturday night and you've declared on Thursday evening that you own that.
It's all my fault.
Your poll numbers drop with me.
Me too. Me too, Kevin. He's going down.
They drop as fast as the mercury drops.
Kevin,
good call,
for the
Kevin.
Call.
Thank you.
Don't own it, okay? Because you'll be in a whole lot of trouble.
I know
Listen,
nothing.
Quick break. We'll continue the conversation right after this break.
Not the beer.
I know.
Not the beer. That's when there may be a huge uprising,
right?
You start messing with people's beer.
That's right. We'll open this government if you take away our beer.
Thomas Wizenand is co-founder, director of operations for Indeed Brewing Company. And coming up in the next segment at 5:35, Tom is going to talk about how the shutdown is affecting their business and other breweries around the country. Did not realize that.
Yeah, my gosh. By the way, good questions about the TSA job event. When are they getting paid? You're right. The TSA is not getting paid. But I assume if you go for an interview this Saturday, you know, it takes a couple weeks to hire you. Then you get hired, you know, within a couple weeks, I imagine this will let up. You know, I'm sure. Here's my prediction. The Democrats will let up and be the grown-ups in the room and be like, whatever.
You think so?
We need border security
anyway. At
this point,
I'm not convinced.
We need border security anyway. So he's going to call it a wall. It's going to be the slats or whatever we already have, and they'll continue. He gets to call it his wall. They'll give him money for it, and we'll open up the government. But we'll also get the DACA thing and help for the Dreamers, of course. But I don't think it's going to go on much longer. It can't. I mean, for God's sakes, the panda cam has been turned off in the National Zoo.
Oh, not the panda cam.
It can't. That's
the panda cam?
We are at the breaking point.
That.
The panda cam has been turned off.
Look, that's what I thought 10 days ago. This can't drag on through mid-January. It has. I think there's some growing concerns about airport security. You heard about the gal who brought a loaded firearm onto a Delta flight. And I believe she was going from Atlanta to Tokyo. And maybe this happens all the time. Things slip through. But and she had the presence of mind when she was in the air with her loaded handgun to tell one of the flight attendants, oops, looks like I got this through by mistake. And they confiscated it. But, God.
Carrie's in St. Paul. She wants to jump in here. Can I put this on, Dan? Oh, hey, Carrie.
Hi.
Hey, Carrie.
Hi, it's great talking to you guys. Paul, I used to watch you all the time on Carrie Levin News years ago.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate that. Seems like a long time ago.
What I was wondering, I was thinking about this, all the people that are not getting paid for the shutdown, why can't the government get a loan from a bank or banks, if more than one, whatever, and pay everybody? And then when the government opens back up, then the White House or whoever is in charge, whatever, would have to pay the bank back right away. Why don't they do that?
Carrie, I don't know the answer, I like how you're thinking out of the box.
It's a great concept, yeah. I mean, the government can print money.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they do that?
They're just choosing not to. I will choose to drink beer if I could get my hands on the new stuff. Minnesota breweries feeling the impact of the shutdown. We'll have a local brewmaster on when we return from the break on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Paul and Jordana, I have to hope, I have to think, Jordana, that the one thing that Americans can agree on in this very divisive time, the one thing we can agree on is beer.
And RVs. And in fact, if you're the fourth caller right now, you win tickets to the RV Super Show. It's not just a show. It's a super show. It's at U.S. Bank Stadium, January 31st to February 3rd. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Fourth caller wins tickets to the RV show. Now back to the beer.
Well, look, the shutdown, the federal shutdown is impacting breweries. And our next guest.
Pandacam? I mean, when will the horrors end?
I know. Tom Wisenand is co-founder, director of operations for Indeed Brewing Company. Tom is in Milwaukee at his brewery there. And tell
us. The brewery he's trying to open.
He's trying to open up, right, Tom?
That's right. Yeah, we're working on it, at least working towards that. And you're talking about the shutdown. And,
yes.
You know, it's not killing us yet, but it's kind of on the horizon, and it's something you never like unknowns in business. So we're kind of in that situation right now.
How has this put you and your operations into limbo, Tom?
Well, there's really two ways that it's kind of impacting us right now. The first one is what's impacting a lot of breweries really around the country and in Minnesota is the label approval. So for, you know, we have an existing operation in Minneapolis, and we're the fifth biggest brewer in the state of Minnesota, and we release a lot of beers. You notice craft breweries are always coming out with new beers, new brands, and all those labels, especially if you want to ship them across state lines into other states, you need to have them approved by the federal government, by the Alcohol Tax and Trade Bureau. So that's one area where they're not approving new labels, and we spend a lot of time planning our brands for the year and for seasonal releases and new brands because people love what's new. And it all comes down to submitting that label and getting it approved before you can order your cans or order your labels for your bottles, things like that. So that's the first one. And then the second one is getting a license for our new brewery, a pilot brewery and tap room here in Milwaukee, which we're working towards opening this summer. And like anything, one of the first things you need to do is get federal approval to do this. They want to make sure that you're going to pay your taxes on the beer that you make and everything else. And so before you can get a state license in Wisconsin or in Minnesota, you need to have this brewer's notice, they call it, which is really a federal license to operate a brewery. They're not approving those licenses right now, and they usually take about 3 months to get approved. So the longer that this goes on, the longer that we're waiting to have our application go in front of the examiner and either say yes or no, ask questions, et cetera. So that's where we are right now.
So it's not actually affecting you trying to open the brewery in Milwaukee. It's affecting what you'll be able to serve when it does get open. I think we lost him.
Some limbo about releasing new beers like this spring and summer from our brewery in Minneapolis. And then here in Milwaukee, it's more about getting the licensing to actually have the brewery here in Milwaukee that we're planning on opening here as a second location, getting that license approved. So we are probably the biggest pressing issue right now because we're more upon spring, especially in the brewer's mindset, is getting those labels approved. We have a couple labels that are in the queue at the Alcohol, Tobacco, Tax, and Trade Bureau that have not been approved yet and won't be approved until the government opens and they work through their backlog of labels.
Oh, boy. So is this, in the cosmic scope of things, Tom, is this a minor speed bump? Tell listeners a little bit, too. One of the dumb questions that was floating around my head, and I'm full of them, as you were talking, why do breweries have to keep coming up with new varieties of beer? I mean, it's not optional, right? You have to do that to survive.
It is, and it's. I think that's a really good point to bring up, is that, you know, not only do we like making new beers, it's really kind of a very craft beer oriented thing, is to come up with new brands, new flavors, explore new ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's our consumers that are demanding these things. You know, what happens nowadays is you have a customer and they're at a bar and they try a new craft beer, and they go, "Gosh, this is the greatest beer I've ever had," mm-hmm. but I'm going to have something else now. You know, so.
Right.
And especially when you look at these big seasonal changes in the year, which spring, summer is a big one in the beer industry and the craft beer industry, a lot of us have stuff lined up to come out. Craft brewers, a lot of these breweries are really small breweries, including us, and we've gotten a lot better at planning. So we've had our labels, you know, put them in a while back, but they still take time to go through. So we're kind of in that spot now. But yeah, it is important. And even retailers out there, you know, your local mom and pop liquor stores, go back 10 years and look at their craft beer selection. There's not a whole lot in there. Today, there's tons of it, and they're really selling a lot of what's new. So someone might come in and buy a 12-pack of something they'd had before, but then they're going to look around for something new.
Right.
And if this dragged on along.
You're breaking up a little bit, Tom. If you can still hear us, how much do you think that this will impact your bottom line? How much money will not be in your pocket because of this shutdown?
For Indeed, if it drags on another month, it would start to impact us, because we would not be able to release one new beer, and we'd also be ordering an old label that we've redesigned. So, you know, ultimately that could mean lower sales for us. How much money? It's really hard to say. If it dragged on even longer than that, where we got into late spring, then we're talking about an entire multi-million-dollar project here in Milwaukee that's on hold. And you can imagine how the costs would start to pile up there. So I think we're still kind of like, all right, if it doesn't, you know, I've basically ignored this issue for the last month or 3 weeks, whatever it's been. And now I'm starting to think about it a lot more.
Yeah.
If it keeps going on here for a few more weeks, I'm going to start to sweat a little bit.
And we know you have a tap room in Northeast Minneapolis. Yep. What's the word at the bar when you hang out there? Are people talking about this? What is your sense of what people come into your brewery in Northeast, what do they want to happen with this shutdown?
I think politics are often a hot topic at a bar, and I think mm-hmm. people are talking about it in all different ways. They're certainly starting to hear the story about breweries in particular, and I think it's a compelling story of how, you know, government like this really is involved in a lot of layers of business that you wouldn't really ever realize. So, you know, they're starting to talk about it now. Their opinions on it, you know, it's about as divided as the politics in the state. You know, people, I think everybody recognizes that this government shutdown is at the very least a major inconvenience, no matter what political side you're falling on. I don't hear a whole lot of blame going around for it in our brewery, at least. But people are starting to get concerned. You know, I mean, people are missing paychecks. Sometimes I'm sure TSA agents spend money on beer. In fact, I know when I go to the airport, they see stuff. I mean, they go, "Oh, Indeed, I love Indeed."
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, you guys brew up a great beer.
Thank you.
I really enjoy it, and again, I have two sons, and they've sort of turned me on to craft beer. And hey, Dad, no, don't drink the skanky beer. So many wonderful
or
options
college
now.
Beer.
You can tell your sons they can come down to Indeed and have a free beer on me for converting you. So.
Well, no, I'm a believer, but wouldn't it be nice if we could get the president to sit down? I know the president doesn't drink, but maybe
a different
beverage.
Make a root beer.
There you go. Nancy Pelosi and President Trump sitting down at your at the Indeed Brewing Company's tap room in Northeast, and solve this over a beer and a root beer. What would you say in the unlikely event that the president and or Nancy Pelosi are listening right now on the radio.com app? what advice would you have for them for coming together and finding a way out of this, Tom? Any ideas?
I think my advice to them would be that at least I hope that they're taking it very seriously, that not only individuals' lives are being impacted, which I think is the biggest thing, by missing paychecks, et cetera, but also, you know, the business does not like unknowns. You know, we like to plan on things that we can control. We like to be able to kind of try to know what's going to happen. There's enough unknowns as it is. And so that really, you know, just doesn't help us make a better impact on what we're doing, because we go into a holding pattern when it's like this. And, you know, like I said, it can last a little while and it's not a big deal, but the longer it goes on, the more uncertainty there is and the more question we have and the, you know, less risk we can essentially take out there. So that's kind of what I tell them. I don't have any advice for them for how to end the shutdown, that's for sure, other than just please get it done.
A couple of beers sounds like a good first start, though.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, for sure.
Thomas Wisenand, co-founder, director of operations for Indeed Brewing Company. Keep up the great work. And for your sake and for the sake of a lot of other people, we hope this gets resolved very soon.
Me too. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tom.
It's tough. I mean,
You know who else doesn't like uncertainty? The markets don't like uncertainty. The stock market does not like uncertainty. And the longer this drags out, the more uncertainty there is in the markets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some financial analysts are beginning to question, you know, could this tip the U.S. into recession? We're certainly a long way away from that, but it wouldn't take much. And people, you know, earlier in the show, Jordana, we brought up the rhetorical question, why wasn't the president able to get this done first 2 years when he had a majority, right? Congress. And the answer, of course, is that you need 60 senators.
Yes, of course.
And the Republicans could not convince a sufficient number of Democrats to go along with this during the first 2 years.
And that's where the art of the deal comes in. That's where you start negotiating.
The deal making, the horse trading.
You had a greater majority at that point.
Right.
You could exert more pressure. And that's the art of the deal. That's why we elected you. That's why some people elected you. Make the deal. Get what you want. Don't just blame it on the now majority. I mean, now you're never going to get it. I think it's going to happen only because federal employees are being held hostage.
But didn't it looked like it was going to happen. And then right-wing media, right, Rush Limbaugh, Laura Ingraham said,
when your ego gets in the
way,
what
are you doing? You can't do this without a firm commitment for the wall. And that's, I think, when the president stepped back and said, all right, yeah, I'm going to. Here's my line in the sand.
A lot of interesting lessons learned. Pete's on the line. He's jumping in here. Hey, Pete.
Yeah, I work for a manufacturing company. We manufacture like $750,000 rescue vehicles.
Huh.
Right now we have a part that's being held up in customs. And because we've missed the deadline of delivering this vehicle to the customer, it's costing us $5,000 a day in penalties.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Even though it's beyond your control.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
See, it's affecting everyday people. Rescue vehicles. These are rescue vehicles, necessary items. Pete.
These are companies trying to keep the wheels on the bus, on the rescue vehicles, and pay their employees. So it's not... And the longer this drags out, stating the obvious, not just federal employees and their families, it's going to be impacting a lot more Americans.
Pete, thanks for the call.
Yeah, good luck,
and keep them coming. If this is affecting you, we want to hear about it. We want to talk about it. We want to let folks know about it. Food assistance programs have funding to last through January, but those that are food insufficient, that are food insecure, we will be talking about that tomorrow at the Let's Kick Hunger Radiothon. We'll be out at the mall all day. We want your participation. We want your money for donations. We want your camaraderie. Come and visit us at the mall and help us raise money for Second Harvest Heartland at the Let's Kick Hunger Radiothon.
Yeah, it was a good time last year, and it's going to be even better this year, but we can't do it without you. It is 5:49 now, Wixon Jewelers time. If you haven't been to Wixon, you don't know what you're missing. Stop by today and experience the Wixon difference for yourself.
You can help families facing hunger tomorrow. We are hosting the 10th annual Let's Kick Hunger Day live at the Mall of America. It's, of course, in support of Second Harvest Heartland, which really serves as like the super value. They're the main post.
The clearinghouse, yes.
Exactly, for a lot of food banks that people are going to around the state.
They support 60 food banks, as I recall.
We'll have special guests in the 5 o'clock hour. The Minnesota Twins are going to be joining us. We talked with Corey Provis earlier this week.
He'll be out there. Dave St. Peter's going to be out there. Derek Falvey will be out there. Nice. I believe Steven Gonsalves and Trevor Hildenberger will be amongst the players out there signing autographs. So people come on out to the mall, say hi, get an autograph, and donate towards a worthy cause.
It's a bit of a disconnect because the economy is doing pretty well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet 1 in 11 Minnesotans are food insecure. 1 in 8, 1 in 9 kids in Minnesota.
So sad.
need that assistance. They need that help.
But here's how the economy and food insecurity go together. We're talking about a lot of people on a fixed income. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a lot of seniors who they're not looking for jobs. They're not working anymore. So they're just on their fixed income. So the economy can be kicking it. But if you're living on Social Security, right. It's not like your Social Security increases
right.
when the job market is great. It doesn't. It stays the same. So they will be food insecure for the rest of their life.
And many people are juggling, right? Do I spend, I have X dollars a month. Do I spend that on medication,
so sad.
Food, healthcare? So the need is great, and we hope you'll join us tomorrow. And we'll be doing this from 3 to 7, but we start up right in the morning, right?
That's right. Dave Lee will be out there.
Yeah.
It's the whole day. Come visit us at the mall. Meet the twins in the entire 5 o'clock hour. Big stars will be out there and help kick hunger on CCO.
See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.